I'd like you to turn in the book of Jeremiah to chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, as we look at our message this morning, and I have retitled this message this morning, Mothers Are God's Temples. Mothers are God's temples. And you will see what I mean as I read the text and deal with it in the time we have this morning. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. Jeremiah 1, 4 to 6. Now the word of the Lord came to me. This is Jeremiah saying this. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Before I formed you in the womb, or as the King James says, the belly, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. Speak, Lord, in the stillness while we wait on thee. Hush our hearts to listen in expectancy. Father, I commit myself to you as I present your word to your people. May the Spirit of God give hearts to hear, ears to listen. May nothing be said that should not be said. And may what is said, Father, come from the very presence of God to the hearts of the people of God, in Christ's name. Amen. This year, I am told, it is known as the Year of the Horse. Of course, you have to be Asian in background to appreciate that. I learned that, in fact, as I listened to Joel Niederhood, one of the Reformed ministers speaking on the radio, and he said this, and I'm quoting him now because I didn't read it, I'm just saying what I heard him say. That during the Year of the Horse, most Asian, or may I say Korean people, or Chinese, if I'm wrong, you get in touch with Joel Niederhood. More abortions are committed during the Year of the Horse than at any other time among these people. The reason being that during the Year of the Horse, when women are born, when a girl child or a female child is born, they're known to be hard to get along with. And if they're hard to get along with, nobody will want to marry them. And because no one will want to marry them, they are aborted at birth. It is suggested that in the United States alone, more children are aborted in a year's time than the entire population of Saskatchewan. If we were to count all the abortions that take place in the world, all the wars of the world would not total those killed as we know it today in this ghastly deed called abortion. Now, you know that I am not one who gets on topics from this pulpit. But I think in a day when we're thinking of mothers, we need to think of the sacred calling of a mother, whereby the responsibility given to mothers is a responsibility from God and not something a woman takes upon herself. Moody Monthly, the latest issue, has an article which I confess I have not read as yet because we just got it a few days ago. But there's a heading of a topic in there. And the heading goes like this. But God, you have never been a mother. How can you know? I feel that way this morning. I have never been a mother. I can't know. But I'm married to a mother, and I know somewhat, and I know a God who knows all. It is for this reason I want to take you into this text this morning and share with you some insights which I trust will be beneficial, not only to fathers, not only to mothers, not only to children, but to the community in which you and I come from as we think of this very special day called Mother's Day. The book begins with the name of the man, Jeremiah. His name, the meaning of it is uncertain, so I won't get into it. But Jeremiah began by saying this. that as he began his ministry, the words of Jeremiah. Keep that in mind, friends. Because if Jeremiah's mother had thought the way some mothers thought, I think today, Jeremiah would not be writing. So he begins by telling the background of his book, the background of his message, the background of what God wanted people to know. And somehow God had spoken to Jeremiah, telling him what he wanted him to know. And what we have in 4 to 6 of chapter 1 is Jeremiah's response to God and God's response to Jeremiah. Look, if you please, in verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, something had happened between verses 2 and 3, and God is now responding to Jeremiah. But I want you to see in those few words, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, I want you to see, my friends, first of all, the divine assignment to mothers. The divine assignment to mothers. Listen how Jeremiah begins. The word of the Lord. Note the spelling of the word Lord. They are in capitals. L-O-R-D. This speaks of the source of this assignment. L-O-R-D as it is spelled, we get our word Jehovah from that word, or Yahweh, as some will pronounce it. The word means this, the one who has life in himself and who gives life to all. It is first used in the Bible in its pure essence in the third chapter of the book of Exodus when Moses asked the question from God, whom shall I say has sent me? And God said, I am. The root of this word is Jehovah. I am the one who has what no one else has. In speaking to the people in his day, St. Paul said, the Lord has life and he has given life to all. This word, as it is here, is first used in our King James Bible in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, where creation is being described for us as from God. And I will not go through the whole thing, for time will not permit. But in Genesis, my friends, we have this. And the Lord made them male and female. Male and female, he created them. And by virtue of being a female, a woman is assigned to become a mother. Not every female will become mothers, because not every female will be married. Some have reasons why they cannot become mothers, but by virtue of being made a female, you become a candidate, if you please, to become a mother. And therefore, by your very birth, you have been given an assignment by God. Now, this is not what I am saying. This is what the scripture teaches. At the very first, God said, when he made them male and female, he told them to be fruitful and replenish the earth. To have the responsibility. So as Luther puts it, when God created man, and man was incomplete without a woman, without someone to become a completer of the incomplete man as God made him himself, God put him through a process and brought before him Eve. And it is most interesting. For as God gave Adam the responsibility before Eve came along to name all the animals, and whatever Adam called them, they were called, so when Eve was first seen by Adam, with a deep sense of joy and exclamation, he said, you are a woman. You shall be called Eve because you are the mother of all things living. The mother, that's what the name Eve means. The first woman, perfect, with absolute confidence in what God had made her, in absolute confidence in the designation on the divine inspiration her husband gave to her. You shall be called the mother of all. By virtue of being made female, you have become a candidate with a divine assignment. Not that you must, not that you have to, but in the process of things, my friends, as a husband and a wife, God brings the reward of the womb, which David said, are children. Divine assignment. What a holy calling. What a high calling. Adam, you take care of the sweat of your brow by taking care of the land. You have the responsibility of removing all the thorns and the thistles from the earth. But to the woman is given the responsibility to bring forth after their kind, to bring forth. Now the scripture, someone jokingly said to me, now are you going to have another brother for Christopher? I said I had to stretch the coffers to get him, and it's as far as it will go. We are not told, my friends, how many children we are to have. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to have 10 or 9 or 8 or 7. Mrs. Wesley had 19. That was her choice. And every one of them, my friends, were rewards from God. A divine assignment. It is not something of a choice that we make. We will see in a minute that when a woman becomes pregnant to become a mother, she is in partnership with God to bring into the world tomorrow's population. Divine assignment. The source of the assignment, it is the Lord who has life within himself. The Lord who gives life to all. The Lord said to me, God is going to correct Jeremiah, because Jeremiah, like Job, thought he should have died when he came into the world because of the problems he had to face afterwards. And God said to Jeremiah, you did not choose to come into this world. I brought you into this world. You don't have a choice in the matter. But look at the sacredness of this assignment. Not only the source. The source is I, the Lord. But now, my friends, under the divine assignment of mothers, we see the source being the Lord. But now we see the sacredness of it, secondly. The source is the Lord. Look at the sacredness. God begins to share with Jeremiah things which are too wonderful for him. He begins by saying in verse 4, look if you please. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, or verse 5, I'm sorry. Before, listen friends, that word before, when you were not yet. That's exactly the word, when you were not yet. Before I formed you in the belly. The word belly speaks of the most remote place within from which the life comes. Before I formed you in the womb. Look at it. God says, my friends, that what happens when a husband and a wife come together, he, in his own providence, has before him what is to take place. Before I formed you, Jeremiah, before you were thought of by your parents, I had you in view. I had all your days numbered in my book, said God to Jeremiah, before I formed you. The word form can mean one of three things. Number one, the word form could mean to create. That's part of the meaning of the word. The word form could mean to make. To make. Thirdly, I love this one. The word form could mean to fashion. To fashion. God said before your father and mother came, I fashioned you. I was there, when it happened, before it happened, after it happened. There is it, my friends, that makes this a very sacred calling, a sacred responsibility. For here we see mothers then as temples in which God is the priest that exercises the service of forming whatever that life will become one of these days. So if God has the responsibility or has taken the responsibility to form that life into the womb, To take that life without the permission of God is to stand before God and say, I don't care what you say. And we read this morning from 1 Samuel that those who withstand God, God will withstand them. What a sacred calling. David had somewhat of this understanding. I am fearfully, the word is awesomely. When I look at myself, I am fearfully, and I am wonderfully made. I love the word wonderfully, because the word wonderfully, my friends, the root of the word is to be distinct. So that in the womb, each child is distinct. No two are alike before God. He formed, he fashions, and he fashions each distinctly as he chooses. I like to tell you that there was a time when I didn't like my height. My height bothered me. That was before I wanted to play baseball. I love playing basketball. I still enjoy playing basketball. But my height got in my way all the time. There were always guys who ate more hamburgers than I did. It seems that whenever you eat hamburgers, junk food usually make them taller and stronger. I don't know why. But I didn't like my height. There was a time when I didn't like my collar. There was a time when I felt it was in my way. How can I live in a world where this collar is an abomination to some people? And then, my friends, I read, I am distinct from the womb, fashioned by God, height and collar and all. Then you see, my friends, when we come into the world, we come with ancient history, known to God, because he has fashioned us in the womb. What a sacred calling a mother has. Mother's Day doesn't mean that we just say Happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day means, my friends, that we have this deep sense of gratitude to God for using our mothers to be the temples through which he brought us into the world. I fashioned you. Well, let me go on quickly. My second point. My first was the divine assignment of mothers. And 2 points under that, the source of the assignment is God. The sacredness of the assignment is God fashioned us in the womb. Secondly, then, the divine activities in mothers. The divine activities in mothers. I deliberately spoke to a pediatric nurse yesterday, and I felt rather embarrassed asking her some questions, but she understood why. And I used the opportunity to share with her because she's my neighbor. She's not a Christian. Very fine, wonderful, wonderful neighbor. But she's a pediatric nurse, and it's interesting. Because I was thinking now, who could I call to ask these questions? And the phone rang. And I said, yes, I called the name. And she had called for something else. I said, I have something to ask you. And I started to ask her certain questions. I said, I have to preach tomorrow. And I want to know something about birth. You are a pediatric nurse. Can you tell me if I'm correct in saying this? And I heard my wife on the other side, honey. I said, I have reasons for asking these questions. I want to know. And I shared with her and I told her. And I told her how I believe that birth begins at conception. And how God forms in the womb, fashions. And how to abort that child is to interfere with the works of God. And I could hear her on the other side. Ah, the door is open, friends. I'm waiting for God to make the next move. But what an opportunity. I ask her, can you tell me if after 21 days, is it possible that a mother wouldn't know she's pregnant after 21 days? And she said, yes, it is. And I'm not going to tell you some of the gruesome things she told me afterwards. But look, my friends, at what the divine activities are in our text. God said, before I formed you in the belly, in the womb, first of all, I knew thee, a person, a distinct individual. Read the book sometimes, Whatever Happened to the Human Race by Francis Schaeffer. You get an insight into some of these things. I knew you. That is, my friends, God is saying, before you were formed, here's the activities of God in the mother's womb. God, the creator, the one who gives life, the one who fashions, he says, I am constantly observing you. Jeremiah, in your mother's womb, I was constantly in your presence and you were constantly in mine. I knew you. I recognize you. You were not familiar with me, but I was familiar with you. That's in that word, to know. So, my friends, in the womb is a distinct person, looked upon by God, known to God, recognized by God. And if God says that is a human life in there, who are we then to take that life and tell God, I don't believe that it is? You see why mothers, my friends, have a sacred calling? Now, I know to preach a message like this is to get in trouble because not everyone is a mother, and I've already admitted that. But if we're here and breathing, we all have mothers, or had at one time. He is the God who had the fetus, my friends, before him in its developing stages, so that God in his wisdom, and don't ask me to explain why people are deformed, don't ask me to explain why people are born blind. I don't know, my friends, I don't know. But I do know that life comes from God. And that when Jeremiah could not deal with his own life, God said, you are not alive because you have the power to keep you alive. You're alive because before you were born, I had something in mind for you. Therefore, one can interfere with God's concern. David said, my substance, yet being unformed, was known to you. Jeremiah entered the world with the essential parts of his experience, already ancient history before God, said Eugene Peterson. He entered the world with the essential part of his experience, already ancient history in the presence of God. So, Jeremiah, I knew you. Mothers, and I know there are some in this congregation who are expecting again, God knows who is in the womb. You are a partner with God. You are God's temple. And God is actively at this present moment fashioning what 9 months or 6 months from now will be a wonderful little boy or a little girl. Secondly, I sanctify thee. I knew thee. I sanctify thee. Before you were formed, before you were born, Jeremiah, I set you apart for a purpose so that you will not come into the world without a plan for your life. You will enter the world knowing that God has a plan for your life. No one, my friends, is born as a zero. Every child born into the world, whatever the situation might be, as hard as it might be at times, God has a plan for that life. Grace can change that life. I sanctify thee. Ethel Waters. She was born out of wedlock. Her parents gave her up because they didn't want to have a little girl like that around the house, or they couldn't keep her. And Ethel Waters was found and she was brought into a home. And you know the rest of the story. God used her on the stages of the world. She was a goodwill ambassador for the United States, singing with Billy Graham all over the world. And it was she who first coined these words, darling, God don't make no nothing. Leighton Ford, brother-in-law to Billy Graham. I think perhaps the heir apparent, I don't know. He was adopted as a little child in Toronto. Perhaps some reason his parents could not keep him. But my friends, Leighton Ford today is a goodwill ambassador around the world. So that even before they were born, God set them apart for a purpose. And that purpose will never be fulfilled if that life is snatched in the womb or after the womb. I listened to Francis Schaeffer just a few weeks ago, a tape, of course, because he's now dead. And Francis Schaeffer said this, and it is true, and for me it is kind of frightening. Francis Schaeffer said, and I quote, is it inconceivable that if for economic problems we don't want children, that it is equally conceivable that for economic problems, we don't want the elderly among us. And I say that's significant to me because I said to someone this morning, I turned a big 5-0 this year. We've got to think of it, my friends, because the governor of Colorado has already declared we should let old people die because they're an economic burden to the world, to Colorado. It's already happening. Who has the power to snatch life? God alone. And from the womb, he says, I sanctified you. I bring you into the world with a purpose. That's what the word means, set apart for a purpose. And thirdly, I ordained you or appointed you. It's a very beautiful word. The word means to give. I have given you. My dear friends, listen if you please. From our text, we learn that Jeremiah was a gift to the nations. He came set apart from God as a special gift. And if you will permit me, and I think I can prove this to you if I had the time to do so, that every child comes into the world by the grace of God can become a gift. Every child. I've already talked about Ethel Waters and Leighton Ford, and I can talk about more. I'll never forget hearing the story of John Walvoord. You must be somewhat of a theologian to know something of John Walvoord. For years, he was the president of Dallas Theological Seminary. And when Mr. Walvoord's mother was pregnant with him, the doctor said to the parents, you've got to take this, either take the life or risk your own. Either take the life or risk your own. And the parents of John Walvoord said, we are Christians. We believe that God can do whatever God wants to do. And we will trust him. If he takes the child, it is his will. If he takes the wife, it is his will. Now, he wasn't being foolish. He went through the natural processes. And my friends, John Walvoord just retired about 5 years ago from the president of Dallas Theological Seminary after 40 years as its president. And his mother is still alive at 92. What am I saying? I'm saying, my friends, that had that life been snatched, when God had appointed it for a special purpose, it would not have been fulfilled in John Walvoord. I knew you. I sanctified you. I ordained you. I've given you as a gift. Oh, my friends, your children are gifts. Grandparents, your grandchildren are gifts. God has given them. And who can tell what will be the benefit of these children in the day to come? Let me quickly end. Thirdly, the divine answer through mothers. First, the divine assignment to them. The divine activities in them. And now the divine answer. The nation of Israel is going through a tremendously dark period. In a few short years, they're going to be exiled. And God wanted to speak to the nation. And he appointed Jeremiah before he was formed, before Mr. and Mrs. Jeremiah came together, his parents. And then came the birth of a son. Later on, he cried. When things got tough for Jeremiah, he cried, oh, that some cursed the day when they said a man-child was born. He went through a difficult time. But he came to understand that God had a purpose for his life. God made him, first of all, my friends, an answer. An answer. He was a spokesman to the nations. And note, it's not nation, nations. Jeremiah, one insignificant birth, one exclusive birth in a special home. Yet God had planned that the nations would one day hear from this man. A prophet, my friend, a prophet is one. Listen, a prophet is one who boils with inspired words from God. Who boils with inspired word from God. Jeremiah came, my friends, as an answer. And a man is always God's means of speaking to the nations. Always. Ezekiel 22 and 30, I looked for a man to fill the gap, to take care of the hedges, and I found none. God has never sent angels to do what he has assigned to man. And so, my friends, in a day when the world was going through deep, deep difficulties in the 1700s, God raised two brothers and another man, John and Charles Wesley, George Whitefield. In another time, 200 years, when the world was on a tailspin again, he raised up a man called Charles Spurgeon. And I can go on. God's answer is always a man. When I say a man, it could be a woman in the sense of what a woman can do. Because the woman in partnership with God, equal candidate for grace. In an age, my friends, when the womb has become the choice of those who carry, God said, I have sanctified what is there for my purpose, a spokesman for the nation. Who will be the next spokesman for Canada? Could he be downstairs being taught at this moment because you brought him into the world? Could she be downstairs because you brought her into the world? Lastly, a spokesman for the nations and then a solution for the nations. Jeremiah was going to come with the message of warning, the message of judgment, and the message of hope. Warnings, judgment, and hope all through the book of Jeremiah. Warnings, judgment, the message. God does not only give a spokesman to the nations, but he gives the message to the spokesman. And he speaks what God wants him to speak. And so, my friends, as we celebrate this Mother's Day, let me close again with the words of Francis Schaeffer. Francis Schaeffer says, if it was not for the revivals in England, through the preaching of the message of God by Wesley and Whitfield, England would have had a revolution the same as France. But what saved the nation of Great Britain was a man, two men, three men, and a host of others. But these were the ones that God singled out for the limelight. And they stood before the people because God had stood before them in the womb. And God brought them out of the womb and into the nations. And today you and I have a model of government based upon Judeo-Christian belief, because Wesley and Whitfield preached the unsearchable riches of Christ during the days that Britain faced difficulties. France, it's a different story. The revolution was not bloodless as it was in Britain. Why? Because the message that God gave to these men transformed life, not destroy them. He heard someone said, the world has yet to see what God can do through a man fully devoted to him. And he said, by the grace of God, I am going to be that man. And my friends, we're still hearing the name of D.L. Moody because he dared to be God's man from his mother's womb. Let us pray. Father, this has been a very sober, sober word. But let none feel in any way that they have been singled out. For Father, if there is a need for forgiveness, God will forgive. If there's a need for reconciliation, God will be reconciled. I pray that the Spirit of God will make this word appropriate to each one here this morning. And may we leave with a sense of purpose, because God would have done his work in our hearts, even as he did in the womb of Jeremiah's mother. We thank you for such a high and holy calling. Thank you for our mothers. In Jesus' name, amen. We will sing just one verse of number 508 because we have a very special presentation to make this morning. 508. O Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret, help me to bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Just one verse, and we will remain seated to sing this. We will not be long, just a special presentation. Let's sing just verse 1. O Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Help me to grit, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. This is Mother's Day. We have said that over and over again. And I feel somewhat embarrassed because whenever you talk about mothers, there might be those who are not mothers who are saying, what about me? This day is special for mothers, and so we trust that you will be gracious to us. We want to recognize our mothers this morning. We want to have a special time of prayer for them. And then at the end of the service, we want all the mothers to file out first. All the mothers first. Pastor Hamilton and his wife Joy will be at that door. And my wife Lois and myself will be at that door. And I have it right. I have it right. We want to present you with a carnation. See, I usually say flowers. To me, a flower is a flower is a flower. My wife said, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. So we want to recognize you this morning, to thank God for allowing you to bring into the world his answers to the nations. Mothers, will you please stand? All the mothers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these who are standing, and we thank you for those who are sitting. We recognize women in this congregation who are not mothers as yet. Some who have not because they have chosen, others who are not because they can't, or others who are not yet married. We do pray that for every mother, whatever the circumstances might be, that Father, that mother will realize that that life they have brought into the world is a gift from God. For Father, your word teaches that children are a reward from the Lord. It is the reward God gives as a woman, from a woman's point of view. And I pray, Father, that this word this morning will bring encouragement, especially in the light of the sacredness of this calling, that no mother will see themselves as simply being mothers, but they are heirs, joint heirs of the grace of God. They are God's partners in the answers to our world. We thank you for every mother this morning. We thank you for mothers, Lord, whose memory we can celebrate. And we thank you for mothers whose presence we can celebrate. And we pray, Father, because of this high and holy calling, you will grant to each mother this morning the sense of that calling, that, Father, their lives will not be the same because of understanding what they have been called to do, to shape the world, to shape a life that will one day shape the world. And we pray that they will shape it for good. And so I pray that strength and wisdom and courage and all that is needed to be effective in the responsibilities, mothers, will be given to each one standing. And Father, we pray that they will truly understand this day how significant it is to us and how significant it is to God. We dedicate each mother to you, those within the sound of our voices, and those who are not so fortunate. Father, we thank you, and we praise you for them, and commit them to you. In Christ's name, amen.